And a very pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting live from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. The program is Sunday Night Live. It's been on the air for many decades. Your host is Mark Meek. Your co-host is Natalie Thomas, who's sitting in the studio with me. Good evening, Natalie.
Well, good evening, Jim. How are you tonight?
I am quite well, thank you, as I juggle the knobs over here for whatever it is we're trying to do tonight. So.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. And what do you think about that weather today? Almost 80 degrees?
I'm sorry. Where were you?
That's what my son said, but I was outside today with the puppy.
Okay.
And it was warm, so okay, maybe not.
Okay, well, maybe I was on the wrong beach. I'm not sure.
Maybe you're on the wrong side of the house.
Must have been. It was a beautiful day, I'll tell you that. Sure was.
Well, I'm so excited because we have Mark with us,
our host, is on the phone with us.
Yes, he's on the phone, and I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to also have Marlon with us tonight. How are you guys tonight?
Hey, we're good.
I'm good, too.
Well, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I want to see how Mark's doing. Mark, you good?
I'm good.
Now, you remember last week, Natalie, when Mark was on the phone and you had some guests in the studio, and he says, "Now, I'm not sure I can tell you ladies apart."
Yes.
Are we going to have that trouble with Mark and Marlon tonight?
I'm thinking we just might. We're going to need a...
I don't think...
Okay, there we go. Marlon's going to put on his professional voice there.
That's exactly right. I'll be more professional than Mark tonight.
Okay.
Well, I think that mine is going to be minus that laugh that goes with his. So.
Yeah, well, okay. That's where you'll distinguish us.
Yeah, I'm the serious one.
Well, you don't have a joy in your heart, a song a praise in your heart?
Yeah, I do, but I'm not.
Vocal?
I don't express it as well as Marlon does. And then may I add, you do, Natalie.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
Express it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah.
You know what? The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I will just stand on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, preach. Come on.
Speaking of preaching, I got on this fancy church website that this guy, Marlon Sparks, was preaching on. And I was listening to that, and I'm sad to say I didn't get to finish the whole message, but wow.
That was today?
Today's, yeah.
Oh, man.
Is that to say he talks too long?
Hey, let me tell you.
It did say 5 hours.
Okay.
We had a glorious miracle today. About 10 till 12, we were walking out. My people didn't know what to do with themselves. So I'm usually advertised as a church guaranteed not to have you out, my dude. But today we made it. So.
Yeah, so I definitely have to go back and finish that message out for sure. Man, you were on fire now.
Man. Oh, my goodness. What a great subject matter. Oh, the favor of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, you might not know it, but Marlon is really, through the years, he's had a worldwide ministry. And you wouldn't think that when you talk about a Perryton, Texas guy, but he's been involved in crusades and all kinds of many different venues and avenues that he's been involved with worldwide. So we're not just talking to Marlon from
Perryton, Podunk, Texas.
Perryton, Texas. We're talking. We're talking about the world, man.
That's exactly right, buddy.
Well, hey.
You know, that was one of the deals when I'd had a traveling ministry for a number of years before I moved to Perryton. Of course, I was only 25 years old when I moved there. So I was actually going overseas and stuff at 19 and 20 years old, sometimes with teams, sometimes by myself. And it just, man, and I told the Lord, I said, hey, I don't want to go if I can't travel. And he said, hey, let me tell you something. You be obedient to me and you can get anywhere in the world, Perryton, Texas. And he proved me right. I proved him right. He was right. You can get anywhere in the world from Wheeler, Texas, I can tell you.
Yep.
So anywhere you are, you can do it.
Yeah.
We've had some great, great experiences, man. I'm telling you, we've had some great, great times. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, you know, go ahead.
Sometimes I told Marlon the other day, I said, you know, I wish I would have known you 50 years ago or 40
yeah.
years ago. 50 years ago. Well, Peter, yeah, basically, I wish I'd known him 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. You could have.
That's right. And because 70 miles difference,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't even know. And listen to what I'm saying. I didn't even know what, about the power of God that was operating out of a small town man 70 miles away from me. I didn't know that.
Isn't that something? And
I'll just be honest with you, that hurts my heart now. To look and see that I missed out on a great blessing in my life by not knowing him back then.
Well, and, son, I'll tell you what, I'm believing anything lost like that, the Lord has the capability to restore it. Restore everything. Years mean nothing. God can restore and put things together, and we still got some stuff to do. That's what I'm believing.
That's
so
right.
I'm going with that, right?
For such Amen. A time as this that we are here
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely. You know what? Absolutely. And this is the timing of God. I mean, I just believe it. It's just a powerful time when, man, we've had seen some great things and had more fun in the last year or so than I've had in a long, long, long time with some people. So you guys have really been a highlight in my life and a real spark to me and put a new zip in the fire inside of my bones. And it's exciting to be a part of what God's doing there with you guys and you with me. And it's going to get better and better.
That's right.
I bless that. I am 100% for what you're saying because I believe what Natalie said for a time like this.
Mm-hmm.
That we're in the most important time that we could imagine
yes.
to live. And there's going to be people that stand back and miss the whole thing. I mean, there's been things happen like the Welsh revival and all that. And that was going on. And
yep.
you know, my mother and dad and grandmother and granddad, they were great Christian people. They loved the Lord with all their hearts. And they didn't even know anything like that was going on in the world.
That's right. They just slept through the whole thing. Bless their hearts.
Yeah. And there's going to be people in the church that do the same thing all over again. And listen, for our listeners out there, the prayer of their heart should be, Lord, do not let me miss what you're doing right
Amen.
Now.
Amen. That's right.
Boy, you nailed that. That is so, I told my people that at the beginning of the year. I'm telling you right now, you literally, you don't want to miss a service. I'm not kidding you. You're just going to say, you're going to hear so much about the service you missed. You're going to live in regret. And what you miss, I'm not saying it too late or not transferable or all of that, but I mean it. And then how something in the realm of the spirit, not today in particular, but the last couple of Sundays have been I've never seen anything like it where our church has been attacked and hit with every kind of flu and COVID and just, oh my lands, almost empty building the last couple of Sundays, except for today we were way back up, but I'm just like, good. No, I mean, we've got like 7 or 8 musicians that are up there on the platform with us on Sundays. This morning we had one. And they were all laid up and at home in bed or nursing somebody. And well, I just got up and I said, you know what? I've had it. I said, I get what Jesus said when he identified that tree as a sycamine tree. Cause Jesus said, are you sick of yours? Cause I'm sick of mine. So I'm sick of this stuff. I'm sick of mine.
That's funny.
So we're getting after the sycamine tree today. Man.
Well, you know, you said how the enemy's just coming, and not just in the people, but at the church as a whole, the persecution of the church as a whole. And I'm seeing things that I never, ever in my life would have thought that that's something you would have seen going on here in America.
You're exactly right. Oh, man, the church, you know, church better know their God. You know, I mean, know their God. Daniel 11:32 said, they that do know their God. And I'm telling you something. This is the day when you better hook up and know him, and not just in a religious setting, and not just in a religious mindset, but you better know intimately your Father God. Jesus told us, you know, when you pray, our Father, so you better stick with that and get intimate and know him as your daddy God and your Father. And this is a day when you're going to need him like you've never needed him before, because there's some things even yet coming upon the church that we're going to see what we're made of. I believe that with all my heart. And we are under assault from every angle, but that's okay, because, you know, the church has a tendency to rise in the midst of persecution. You know, the church, the early church was sitting in Jerusalem having little glory meetings and little cute house meetings. And we're all just staying there. And Jesus told them to get to the othermost parts of the world. And they were sitting there. And persecution came and drove them out to the other parts of the world. And they, thank God, held on to their faith and created, you know, preached the gospel in the parts of the world they were sent to. But, you know, it's God. God is sending. You know, I don't want to go because of persecution. I want to go because I have a commission on my life. And have a calling in my life, and it's been stirred up in me in this year as much or more than in any previous year, and I'm wound up, man. I am ready to hit it running. I'm pretty excited about it.
that is exciting to hear somebody that's excited.
Yeah, it's funny. I've had some of my people say, man, what's wrong with you? I said, what? They said, well, you're 66 years old and I think you're getting a second wind. I said, well, it's a second something, a second or third or fourth or whatever it's got. But I'm, wow. My people like to go hear me preach at other places. They'll come to churches where I'm speaking in the area or whatever. We usually be coming home. And matter of fact, one particular instance, I was invited to speak at a black pastor's conference in Liberal. And one of my buddies that was pastoring there, a guy came to him and said, you know, any white pastors in this area that would come and just be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in the black church? He said, yeah, I got one. I think that it really, I think you really want to hear. And so I went to the church and I told the people what I was doing. I said, now, if you'd like to go, it's on a Sunday night, and I said, we'll take the church bus, and y'all load up, and I'm going early, but y'all come on up. Hey, there were 45 people loaded on that bus,
awesome.
To come up there from our church. And I'm like, they had a 12-year-old keyboard player, organ player, a 6-year-old drummer that were the pastor's kids. And I'm telling you right now, man, and there were like 13 black pastors on the platform seated on the platform. And so, man, they had church and sang, and oh my goodness, my people sat out there with big old wide eyes, like, what in the world? Like deer in the headlights. And we're pretty vibrant, excitable church. But they were going, wow, this is another level. And so they introduced me to, and I got up, I opened my Bible, and all of a sudden, man, something hit me, and they were with me, man. I mean, they started pulling it out of me, and I started preaching. I just closed my notebook and just shut it and just started preaching. Mm-hmm. And man, the people are just shouting and we're having a great time. The pastor was like 75 years old with these. He had 9 of them. Anyway, he jumps up behind me, grabs me by my suit coat from behind on my shoulder. He starts shaking me and he was screaming, you're preaching now, white boy. You're preaching now, white boy. Preach it, white boy. And I'm telling you right now, I'm laughing. Our people are laughing and we're preaching and carried on. Anyway, long story short, it ends eventually. and we had some fellowship, and they fed us and stuff. And so somebody said, everybody's loaded on the bus, you're fixing to leave. You want to tell them bye? And I said, yeah, let me run out there. So I step on the bus. You could have heard a pin drop. They were all just staring at me. Hey, I want to come and tell y'all bye and thank you for coming. They weren't saying anything. I said, what's wrong with y'all? One lady said, well, Pastor, we was in here talking, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, we love you, man, but you don't preach like that at home. I said, hey, there's two ends of that story. Y'all don't act like that at home.
Yeah.
Man, well, we had some church that night, and I mean, it was great. And I went back a couple more times through the years, and oh my goodness. But yeah, but that's, you know what? That's just the kind of anointing that's coming on people in this last day. It's just a fire, an unquenchable fire of the Holy Spirit that's just stirred us up like, really, I don't think like we've ever been, because it has to be that way. We're at a stage where our world is in such a horrible condition. It's going to take something powerful. It's going to take something supernatural. You know, he said in the last days, you know, they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And what did he say to do? He said, don't you hang out with that. He said, you turn away from that. He said, because I'm going to pour my spirit out on you, and you're going to prophesy, and signs and wonders are coming, and you're going to see the mighty move of God and the hand of God in operation. And we have to just say, Lord, that's the group. I'm in that group. You know, I don't want to play anymore. I don't want no more playing church. So let's get after it and see people delivered and helped and set free in the way Jesus intended when he came in the first place. So that's pretty exciting.
Marlon, the Lord showed me some things that I believe are going to be happening in spirit in our area. And one of them was he showed me a wind and a spark. And a spark.
Thank you. Yes. Spark. Prophesy. Prophesy, man of God. Keep going.
I'm just now putting it together.
and so the wind was blowing that, and it was a wildfire took off, and he showed me how these little fire departments run out and try to knock the fire down before it gets started. And he told me, he said, that's religion. That he said, I'm going to blow the wind. He said, I'm the wind, and the wind is going to blow so high that they're not going to be able to put it out this time. And
come on.
I went to some places, and I started sharing some of this, and it was a couple of pastors that I was with, and they said, you know, we don't want wildfire. That's not what the church needs. So we need a fire that can be controlled. But
wow,
if it can be controlled, then it's man that's doing the controlling. Isn't that right? So we need to let God be God, and he is so. Listen, if we could even halfway figure out how big and powerful and how he in the universe is just a toy with him.
Oh wow.
And yeah. And then we wanna come along and put some kind of limits on him. We wanna put a limit on him and say, hey, this is as far as you can go, God. We don't want this wildfire. We don't want that going on because it might upset somebody. It might do something. But you know what? We've never seen, and I'm talking about Azusa Street and every other place, we've never seen the wildfire like we're going to see in this lifetime.
You know, that's absolutely the truth. And I was reading some stuff a couple of weeks ago about Azusa Street. What caught my attention is, I mean, and of course all the signs and wonders and the prayer meetings and the miracles and the glory of God, the people being filled with the Spirit and all that was incredible. But what I think the Lord brought my attention to those that came to Azusa Street just out of curiosity and left saying, man, this is nothing but fanaticism and wildfire, and missed the whole thing. Just missed it. While God was, while God was doing the greatest outpouring in the 20th century, I mean, heaven fell on that place. Way saying, well, you know, that's fanaticism. I want no part of that, and missed the whole thing, man. It was, you know, my dad was, of course, a pastor as well for all my life, as well as a deputy sheriff and worked in law enforcement at the same time. And I remember him saying, you know what? He talked about signs and wonders. I know the spelling might not be right, but he said, if he's performing signs that you're not wondering about, then it's not from God. The signs that God shows, people wonder, whoa, man, look at that. That was powerful. Was that God? That was amazing. And I always remember that. I said, well, yeah, I kind of like that. People that look at it go, is that wildfire? Is that fanaticism? Is that the real deal? And I chose to be, you know, part of the real deal bunch. I just said, I believe it. I've seen some pretty amazing things in my years on the earth. And I expect to see some things that are going to rattle us. And you're just going to shake your head and say, no question, that's God. Showed up, showed out, and showed himself strong in that situation. And you'll know, man, you will know it's him. Wow.
You know, we can do just so much. Mm-hmm. And we've seen great advancements in lots of things.
Right.
I'm sitting in a house here that's powered by electricity. Mm-hmm. And I could imagine what Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, how do you think he would have felt if he could see today what all is powered through his invention?
Wow.
He wouldn't be able to even fathom what it is. Every one of us, we can come in here and we can reach out and we can flip these light switches. Right. Lights come on and flood the house with light. Mm-hmm. And it's the mundane. And if it doesn't do that when I flip that switch, then, man, I'm trying to figure out if I've got a fuse problem, if I've got a power problem, if something's going on if I don't flip the switch.
Right.
And
there you are.
Exactly the way the church is. We've taken, you know, God moved back there in the past in certain ways and certain times, and those things have become the mundane. We don't expect anymore. And he's going to come and blow those limits off that we've placed on him.
Yes, sir. That is absolutely happening. That's what a lot of what we've been sharing on at the church is letting, you know, and I said I take a risk sharing this the way I'm sharing it, but you know what? You got to let Jesus, you got to let him. And he said, I've not called you servants. You know, I said, I've called you friends, or you're now sons of God, not servants of God. You're sons of God. But he said, as I read through the things that God is doing, another order for us to, we are servants to men as sons of God. We have to allow God to serve us. So anti-religious and almost sacrilegious to say, he doesn't serve you. Oh, yes, he does. He pours into you. He's serving us. Jesus, as a matter of fact, in heaven, the Bible says he's still wearing that servant's girdle. There's a girdle about him. It's a girdle that the servants wore in that day when he is pouring himself out and serving humanity and serving people, wanting to pour himself into people. And they're going, oh, no, no, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? He said, no, what you can do is receive from me. Because if you don't receive from me, nobody's going to get any benefit of what I've done in you. You have to be willing to be a servant of man and to be ministered to and served by God, to be taught by him, to be ministered to by him, to receive freely everything he's given us. That from him. people just put their hands up. Oh no, you know, I don't, you know, Lord, I just, what can I do for you? Which is good, but it's not something you could do for him. He really doesn't need anything. You know, but people we know all around us are needing a lot that's going to come out of us, but we've been ministered to and served by God. He's filled us with his presence and his spirit and with the life of God, with the miraculous that we can go and minister to humanity. And we got to come into that position where we're waiting on the Lord serving us and pouring into us. And then we're pouring what he gives us into others. And that's a whole different light, many times, a way of looking at things. But we've got to get to that position where we'll let the outpouring of the Spirit of God literally overtake us.
Hey, listen, I think there's a scripture somewhere that talks about he's made us able ministers. He's made us able ministers. And what that speaks to me is that that's something that when I received Christ into my life, I became an able minister. And so no longer am I just somebody that has a need, but I've become a need fulfiller. I've become somebody that has something to give. I have something to give. I'm somebody that can give what's been given me.
Yeah, and there's a deal. You can't give what you don't have. You got to receive of him. You can't give what you don't possess.
Yeah.
Wow. But I look at people that are really against anybody in the church even saying that they ought to have money. They ought to have abundance. They ought to have wealth. They ought to, because it's just a selfish attitude. I can't give what I don't have. So they'll talk against money and talk against people being blessed financially and run it down and say, you know, that prosperity gospel and all that mess. And all that's saying is you can't give what you don't have. You've got to receive so that you can give. And that's all it is to it, period. A lady at our church the other day, she came with somebody from our church and invited her to the church. And she left and got in the car to go to lunch. And she said, now I'm taking it by what I heard today that he's one of those health and wealth preachers. And she told her, like I always say, as opposed to what? She said, what do you mean? She says, as opposed to a poor and sick preacher? What do you mean? She said, well, you know, she said, look, all this thing, or abundance thing coming into your life is for the purpose of being a blessing and being a reservoir and you being a channel of blessing that God can pour through. That's it. That's it. So if you'll understand it from that light, everybody agrees. Everybody. We shouldn't have money. It'll make us sin and it'll ruin us. And, you know, a preacher will preach that and then say, let's receive the offering. We need to build a new church. Well, good luck. You preach them poor. Now you're trying to get something out of them. Well, come on. You got to be kidding.
I like the way you take those kind of thoughts and twist them around and make them make sense.
Right? Man. Yeah. It is sense. You use your head. I'll just tell people that. Quit checking your brain at the door when you come to church. Crying out loud. Come in here with some sense. Come in here and realize why God's given gifts to men, why God's given abundance, why God's given, you know, the power of God into men. But not so we can, you know, we can receive the Holy Ghost and put a Holy Ghost trophy on our shelf that some other religion or denomination doesn't have. We can say, look what we got that you don't. It doesn't mean a thing if what you receive, it's not for the benefit of changing the world. So we've shined our trophies and, you know, shined our medals long enough. It's time to put those things to work and just say, hey man, God did fill us with the Holy Ghost. God did give us the power of the anointing of the gifts of the Spirit for the purpose of changing the world with the power of the gospel. So that's right. All about attitude, right?
Right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, Natalie, you sure are quiet. I assume that you have
somebody wake her up
to throw in this mess.
Somebody, somebody wake her
hey,
up.
Hey, I'm
right
soaking
now.
All this good stuff in.
Okay. She's here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm over here making lots of noises in the background. Jim's over here giving me looks like I need to keep it quiet. As far as, you know, my noises. Anyway, but, you know, as you're talking, though, don't you think that sometimes people get confused or get caught up in the fact that because they're not walking in that fullness of God, that's not the God that we serve anymore, that he doesn't do that anymore, and that kind of makes them feel a little bit better about it, and they allow themselves to be tricked maybe into that, or, you know, I even had a lady one time say that, well, not everybody can be prosperous, so I'll be the one that's not, you know. And so, you know, don't you think of exactly. Do you think that?
I've heard the very same thing. Not everybody, you know. And I thought, well, what gifts are being made available to the church that he's picking and choosing? He's no respecter of persons at all. And it's a matter of the person's heart of what he wants. You know, I had a lady one time that, you know, that came to church in a wheelchair. We prayed for her. She got up and walked around the church, hadn't walked in years. And right in the middle of her walking, she goes, my God, she said, I have an occupation. What would I do out of this chair? She goes to the chair and sits down and died in that condition. And I went, wow. You know, I just thought that's the way kind of it is with people. You know, we come from so many different angles of life and arenas and avenues of life where, you know, well, you know, if God gave me a bunch of money, I'd probably just blow it all and it'd make me backslide and I'd, you know, purchase a bunch of stuff I don't need and be wasteful. And well, come on. Well,
trying to reason,
good chance.
Reason why God's right? not blessing them. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's really why God looks so much at the heart. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is.
Yeah.
Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You know, you can go tell our people, I said, now here in just a few days, our giving records are coming out. I want you to see where your heart is. And last year, a lady came up to me weeping, and she said, I got my giving record, Pastor, now listen to this. I spent more on dog food than I gave to the gospel. Well, I went, whoa, You know why? Because that's where her heart was.
Yeah.
You're taking
that's
care
lot,
of those
that's
little babies.
Of animals.
You know? And I'm telling you, right? What you give, you wouldn't say that. But anyway. What she gave is like one animal. But anyway, that's the way, you know, that's where we are. God, looking at our, man, looking at our heart, when people are saying, Lord, I want abundance in my life. There's such great need. You know, show me a way. Create. Deuteronomy 8 says he gives us the power to create wealth. Doesn't give us wealth, but the power to create it. God, give me the power I need to create the wealth that I need to accomplish what I want to do financially in the kingdom and for the hungry and the needy and clothe the naked and all the things that need to be done. Our motives and attitudes, you know, it's time just to sanctify those things and purify them and set them apart for the call of God he has on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes me think about the offering message we had at the church this morning. Ken Abernathy had given a message, and he said, talking about pulling up your bootstraps, he says, well, who gave you the hands to do that? Who gave you the brain to think about that? And it goes back to that scripture that says God is the one who gives us the power to gain wealth and gives us wisdom. You know what? He can lead us to that business deal. He can lead us in what we should or shouldn't do, and it's being willing to come under and submit to that. But that's what God has get. I think a lot of times we think it's just going to fall from heaven, and that's not necessarily how it's going to happen.
Exactly right.
Well,
exactly right.
I think y'all miss, and I think a lot of church people miss this, but there's a lot of people out there that really don't want God's blessing.
Right.
And
they really don't.
I mean, they are proud of what they have done. And they don't want to share the glory of that with God.
Yeah.
And I knew a guy that was that way. He'd go, I'm a self-made man. And he'd go, that God thing's just a crutch to you. That's all it is. And what he was saying was, I don't need that crutch. I've got myself. And I've got my ability, and I've got my set of mind. And what it is, it's a huge pride thing. And the world is so taken up in this. They're so connected to this pride thing that it's me. Why would I want to share the glory of making $100,000 last week with God?
Yeah.
Absolutely right, man. That is so true. Somebody told me at church, it's funny you mentioned that crutch. Somebody said this morning, did you see that, I don't know if it was a social media post or whatever it was, said, did you see it, Pastor? It said they accused somebody of using Jesus as a crutch. And the guy said, I'm not using him as a crutch. I'm using him as a stretcher. I need him for more than a crutch. I'm totally abandoned to Jesus. If he's not, my full weight is on him, not just a crutch.
Well, we get such a mentality of we need to be independent. We need to be independent. We need to be able to take care of ourselves. And God wants us to be interdependent on him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we get that pride of that, you know, I can do it on my own.
Well, what we miss in all that is that I can do so much more with God.
Amen.
Than what I can by myself. And that's what they miss. They don't want to hook up and share that glory with anybody, but they miss the fact that they could have done so much more. They could have had so much more. If they would have included God in the equation.
Absolutely. Rich young ruler, right? Case in point.
Rich young ruler, that's right.
Jesus made him the greatest financial deal he'd ever had, and he walked right past him.
Yeah.
He walked away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And Jesus was trying, and then he looked at the disciples. I love this part in that story because few people see it. The disciples looked at him and said, well, then who can be saved? He goes, well, guys, let me tell you something. There is no man that is given, you know, houses and lands and goes into all that that he won't receive in this time. So he was trying to set that guy up. And I'm not trying to take everything you've got. I'm trying to increase you and give more to you. But you missed it. And that's what's happening. God's trying to get all offering time is not get something from you. It's trying to get something to you.
Right.
Always. You know, every time that we're receiving offerings or whatever, at the church should get it. They're trying to get my money. No, we're not trying to get your money. We're trying to get money to you. We're trying to get blessing to you. And you're missing it because of your attitude and the way you're seeing things from a wrong perspective. And you got to see things from the word and what God said about what we're trying to get to give you the opportunity to do.
You said something a while ago, Marlon, about people don't think, they don't consider the things of God, and I've run into this through the years in several places. One of them was I had this friend that he and I were pretty close, but anytime I'd start talking to him about the Lord, he would stop me. He did not want to talk about the Lord.
Wow.
That was for the church house. That was not for conversation.
Mm.
And what I began to realize after a while is that we've become so educated in what we think is the scriptures that sometimes we don't realize that we have a brain that God gave us and he expects us to use it. For spiritual things. Things that we can't really see, taste, feel, or hear, or whatever.
he expects us to use that brain to do that. And I think we have gone into Sunday schools and all kinds of things in our churches, and we've misrepresented God to a lot of little kids sometimes that, you know, you can't really experience God. It's just, you got to do it all by faith, and you can't really.
Right.
And I don't believe that's really true. I think that we've been given the brain to help figure out the things of God. And
Absolutely. So
people end up with these attitudes like my friend had. Hey, we really can't go there. We can't visit about the Lord because, that's my religious life. Now, anything else is an open field. We can talk about anything. We can talk about cattle. We can talk about, tractors. We can talk about, grain. We can talk about grazing cattle. We can talk about anything. We can talk about our families. We can talk about this and that. But man, when it comes to God, it just totally shut down.
That's right. Wow. That's incredible.
And I really believe that we started in Sunday school teaching little kids this concept.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I do too.
What we're really telling them is, hey, God's really not real.
Right.
If he can't get across religious barriers, then and he's not real.
Right. Well, absolutely.
So that's where we start these thought processes and find things back there early in our education of our children.
Yep. Oh man. Well, that's where it begins, man. That's where they get those images. Wow.
Well, it's like, you know, kind of what you're talking about earlier is, that's when we operate within an expectation. God can only work within that expectation. And so if you're taught at a very young age or, you know, whatever, wherever, when you begin to be taught the word, whenever it is, well, you get caught in that there's a boundary there. And it's kind of like even what you're talking about earlier is the fire. Well, we don't want the fire to be so wild. We wanted to contain it. And it's, to me, that is also the mentality of, we want to God to work within our expectation and what we think he should do and shouldn't do and where we can't, instead of taking the limits off of God.
Yes, that's right. Man, no, we're nailing this. I mean, we're nailing this thing. We're all over it. I'm not kidding you. This is something for people tonight. I'm believing the right people to listen in tonight to just begin to abandon themselves and just saying, you know what, God, I mean, it's all about you. I'm all about you. I mean, this thing, this world, you know, was not intended for me just to take up oxygen. There's a purpose for me here, and it's to do the will of God for my life. Receive an assignment and go get it. You know, go after it, and either to get a vision or hook up with somebody else's vision or something, but find somewhere where you could be involved, where God's doing great things, and hook up with it, and corporately, you know, let's go get it. That's why the local church is so powerful. We're hooking up with sometimes with other people's visions that God gives them. But man, you're the great part of that, and to present the gospel right and our vision right, where people say, "Now you know what? I can give to that. You know, I'm putting my resources behind that. I'm putting my support in 100%." Behind everything's going on there, because that's the gospel and that's the move of God, and that's where we're headed.
Yep.
And you know, I'm sorry, Mark. We were talking about God gave us a brain and we should use it. Well, you know what? When you decide to step out and go where God wants you, whether you're supporting somebody in a ministry or you're going to step out and do your own thing, and you begin to seek God and you begin to look, God, the things that you're going to come up with things that you never thought of. As you begin to meditate on the Word, as you begin to pray and you begin to move towards those things, God is going to show you things that you never even thought of were possible in your brain, in your thoughts. You're going to begin to think things. And I'm sure that you, Mark, and Marlon can share several times where you have come up with ideas that was definitely what we call a God idea.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
And just being dependent upon that.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's how I function. I mean, I'm a guy that functions as a upon me guy. God spoke to my heart, and God came upon me, or I was in prayer and this, came to me, or man, and it's usually stuff where you go, God, that's you? That don't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But I'll tell our people, name me one miracle in the Bible that ever made sense. Not a miracle that you know of that people could look at and go, now that makes sense. I mean, spit in somebody's eye and they get healed. Jesus did. I mean, axe heads floating and seas parting where people could walk across on dry. Anything that happened there, you look at that and go, oh, wow, that's neat. But you know what? If you were there, you'd just be shaking your head going, that's not even feasible. That's insane. That's not possible. Wow. And I said, you know what? That's what's happening today. What's happening in the days ahead of us are things where you're going to say, you know what, God, it doesn't have to make sense. I'm faith doesn't make sense. Believing in God doesn't make sense. I mean, just us being on the radio here talking about somebody we've never seen in the flesh doesn't make any sense. But yet, why do we do it? Because we see with the eye of faith. We see beyond what we can perceive through our senses. And we've walked something out that God has done in us that can only be received and obtained by just absolute faith. I believe it because he said it, or I believe it because he said it to me, or I know that I know what I know because that I just know. Well, how do you know he's
experienced it?
You know what?
Yes.
I just know, right? I just know. And it's pretty tough to explain that to somebody that lives in the realm of reason.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting here listening to y'all talk, and I've kind of let my mind wander a little bit. But it's wandered over into the Bible.
That's
and
good.
I was thinking about Elisha, and when he, and I may have Elisha and Elijah mixed up, y'all may have to straighten me out, when he was it Elisha or was it Elijah that came first?
Elijah.
Elijah was first. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was first.
And so the first, he called Elisha. He called Elisha, and Elisha was plowing with a yoke of 12 oxen.
Right.
And I like that story because he immediately unharnessed those oxen and killed them all and boiled them all. I don't know what he did with it all.
Good night.
But he was burning his past. He was saying, I'm not going back there anymore. And, his dad must have been pretty successful farmer to have 12 yoke of oxen.
And, right.
And so then he told Elijah, he said, I'm going to get a double portion of yours. And Elijah told him, he said, Elisha, if you see me when I go up into heaven, you'll get it.
Right.
And so he followed Elisha followed Elijah around.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
he did.
And Elisha or Elijah was kind of doing little things to, he'd try to send him on errands and stuff. He was trying to discourage him. And man, he wasn't late. He stuck right with him. And he actually saw when Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. But here's the part I like.
Mm-hmm.
As he went up, his cloak fell down on the ground. And when he happened, he picked that up and he walked back and there was a river. I don't know whether it's a river or a brook, but it was running water. And he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?"
Right.
Man, water spark.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good. That's good stuff.
That is so good. So, it is.
That's the time that we live in now. If our listeners get anything else out of what we're saying,
we're at that time right now where God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and we've seen a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a little bit of that prophecy come true.
Right.
But we hadn't seen the moon turn to blood.
Right.
You know, we've seen a little, but we hadn't seen it all. We hadn't seen the fullness of that.
Right.
We're entering into the time when we're about to see the fullness of that. And we're entering into a time when we actually will see things that are reserved for times to come.
Right.
Take place on the earth. So yeah. we're going to begin to see things in a whole different manner. And we need to be ready for this. We need to be like Elisha, watching closely what Elijah's doing, because when that cloak fall down to the ground, we got to be ready to pick it up and say with boldness, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?"
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying, I don't know. Hey, I don't know if y'all ever watched this movie or not, called Get Shorty.
No, I don't. Yeah, me too. I haven't heard that.
You need to get that movie and watch.
I'm gonna have to get it. Get
What's
Shorty.
It now? Get Shorty.
Get Shorty.
Okay.
And it's this kind of this mob guy, and he'd kind of stare at people and kind of give them the stare, you know, and he'd say, "Look at me." And it was funny because some people really respected that. But basically what I got out of that was that Elijah was saying to those people over there on the other side of the brook, "Look at me. Look at me and look what I'm about to do."
Right.
And then said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah of the past? Where is he?"
Wow.
And then he started doing twice as much. You know, and our pastor this morning brought out that there's a double portion of anointing that's been given to us as kings and priests. Hmm. And he had a scripture for it. You remember where that was, Natalie?
You know what? Give me a minute. I got my notes going here.
You better all you got. You better find it.
Holy cow.
Natalie was at church this morning, everybody. I was not.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, see? Uh-huh. Well, I got several references here, but I think Jim is going to help us out here.
No, I'm thinking it was Ephesians.
Okay.
I was running the scriptures on the screen, but that didn't mean I was reading them that fast. So.
I don't have Ephesians written down. So I don't know, Mark.
Anyway, there's a scripture that says that. And so we've got to be ready to pick that mantle of that cloak up, that whatever you want to call it, and right. move out of our comfort zones and, mm-hmm. And say with great boldness, where is the Lord God? And I want to tell you, when you begin to have that attitude, he's going to show up.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Be You're ready. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and at the same time as we're saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The Lord speak back to us. Where are the Elijahs of God?
Yeah.
I'm put me in that spot. I want to qualify as one of the Elijahs or Elishas of God and pick that thing up. The anointing that is the anointing means to remove burdens and destroy yokes.
Yeah.
God, that spirit of the Lord that is upon us. We are removing burdens and destroying yokes. I've never seen the likes of the people that are coming into our church that are the most depressed, miserable people coming right off the street, just walking in. And I'll see them come in the door and I go, wow, man, I can't believe they're here. And boy, it's not but a service or two. When they come back, boy, God shows up in their lives and changes them. And just the joy of the Lord explodes in them. And I thought it's that anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. And that's our call. And we're all anointed to just exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what really stands out to me? I don't know. I just really struck a chord with me when you were talking, Mark, where Elisha stayed closely with Elijah. Mm-hmm. So that he wouldn't mm-hmm. miss that. And that just mm-hmm. really, I don't know, and that's what we need to be doing, is we need to stay closely to that we're there, we're ready, we're prepared, we're learning, we're waiting. And that's,
right.
And he was able to be with him all the time to see everything that he did. You know, mm-hmm. he was witnessing all of that so that he can have that as something that he can use for when he does mm-hmm. receive that double portion. But guys, we are almost out of time here.
Oh, it's painful.
I know. It's just going good. So y'all got just a few more. Y'all want to take a little bit to do some closing statements? Go on. Go ahead. We got about 2 minutes here.
Mark, well, fire up.
I don't know if I can say anything in 2 minutes.
2 minutes? I can say good morning in 2 minutes.
Definitely been talking a lot more than 2 minutes tonight.
Well, definitely. I think I didn't get, yeah, y'all been doing good. Actually, I'm just like, I have so loved it tonight. I'm really encouraged with what you guys had to say tonight, and it's just really blessed me.
Yeah, man. I just continue. And before this program begins, I'm trying to be in prayer and just praying, God, I know there's people listening tonight. Just God, that you've ordained that they'd be listening to what we're saying right now. There's whoever's listening. Just trust me, chosen by God to hear what came out of this thing tonight, and it's for you to receive it and grab it and let God do a great work in you, and just rise up and go for it.
Amen. That's right. All right, Marlon, amen. Real quick, remind us the name of your church, and that way they can find you on Facebook so they can get your get in and listen on what you got going.
Awesome. Victory Family Church. In Perryton, Texas, we're victoryperryton.com, and you can get on there and hear preaching and whatnot, and go on Facebook, Marlon Sparks on Facebook, or Victory Family Church on Facebook, and hear messages repeated and whatnot. But man, I've been speaking on the favor of God for this hour, and ooh, man, it's so fun. It's mm-hmm. really fun.
That's awesome. And you're doing a Wednesday night Bible study, so they want to be sure and check that out
too
as well.
Yeah, we do that too. Well, you can't come eat with us, so we serve food at 5:30, but of course you won't be there. So
I'm not sending it to you. Well, we just want to thank all of our listeners out there for joining us tonight. We hope that you were blessed, and as we close out our night.
All right, everybody, remember, go to sundaynightlive.org for contact information for us, where to click for the streams, and to hear past programs of Sunday Night Live. Good night, everybody.
Good night.